worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
Good to get gooder.
Kara.
Oh, I had a hamburger for lunch.
Yeah,
come
right.
on down and smell my breath.
Mickey.
I energy just fine without it.
And Lazy E.
Anthropomorphic.
It's the best mistake ever. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
This podcast is high AF right now.
I think just drunk.
Yeah. A little bit of both. Column A, column B.
Okay.
Fitting both in there. Welcome to A Freak Accident. I'm Crisco. Lazy E missing this week, but we still have Mickey and Kara here at the desk on the mic. Our website is afreakaccident.com. That's the letter A, freakaccident.com. And our email, as always, if you'd like to reach out to us about whatever, is freaks@afreakaccident.com. So, Lazy E not here once again, which is weird, historically anyway.
It is, but he said he was here in spirit.
He did say that, although you countered by saying that Kara and I would probably appreciate it if he was here with spirits.
Yes.
And I agree.
I also agree.
Yeah. You are here with spirits, though.
Of course. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means. It means boo slushy for Kara.
And today that's paired with DayQuil.
Right.
And I took some omeprazole for heartburn.
Oh, no. Wow, so you're just filled with
uppers and downers. Yeah, I used a little Afrin with my nose.
Which apparently is addictive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't wean yourself. You got to wean yourself off of it. You can't just stop taking it.
Is it like a fancy name for cocaine? It's bad. It's really bad for you.
Sounds like it would be, wouldn't it?
If you go to an ENT, forget it. They you might as well just chop your nose off and be done with it. They hate that stuff. I usually use saline spray or a Vicks VapoPen, that smells pretty good, but I've been so, this cold is going on.
Yeah. No, it's still a thing for you. And I commented that, you walked to the front door and you were like, and I'm like, oh geez, what in the world?
I had that long COVID.
Yeah, the long COVID.
Well,
yeah.
That was like a Stitch, Lilo and Stitch voice or something.
Long COVID sounds like he would be somebody that would be on the team that Magic Mike is on.
Yeah.
You got Magic Mike and long COVID.
New to stages this year.
I mean, that's you really have been sick for a good solid minute there.
But
is your immunity that terrible?
I've been taking that
I'm
emergency.
Going with it might be allergies.
It might be allergies.
It's gotta be.
You're just giving yourself the wrong drugs.
I'm on so many vitamins. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, she's literally sitting here saying she can't take NyQuil because she would have fallen asleep driving on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
So she just took DayQuil instead, along with all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and just top it off with a vodka slushy.
Well,
everything's fine.
I can't let this cold change my life. Okay. What people say when they have kids. My life isn't going to change at all over this.
I appreciate the ambition.
Yeah, well.
Certainly, yeah. Your commitment to not letting this get you down even a little bit is respectable.
It's because she's still working at the bowling alley.
Well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was my feeling after today.
Yeah. That was like a face in the noise that I made when we did that chip challenge.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, I was like, oh, no. by the way, we did that hot chocolate thing last week. I got a little update on that just because, well, no.
Spicy chocolate.
Yeah. It was spicy chocolate, hot chocolate. It's the same thing. And you see, Mickey, that's a play on words, which you just, completely took the piss out of. So thank you for that. But we got, there was a little update I seen that, you remember we said that whole thing, every time somebody bought one of those Fuego Box White Lightning things from Fuego Box is the company. White Lightning was the name of the spicy chocolate. Every time you bought one, they would donate 50 meals to people who were going hungry.
Right.
And they were doing the whole hashtag end hunger. And they were partnered with Feeding America.
Yeah.
They apparently reached their goal of 1 million meals donated.
Awesome.
Wow.
Which is awesome. Yeah. So we were kind of a part of that, thanks to, also donations to us.
Elle was a part of that.
Yeah. She donated to us. because she likes us being in pain, I suppose.
It was hot. It was spicy.
It was. It was way more spicy than I was expecting. Did you have any issues after Mm-mm. the fact? Neither did
no,
I.
No, but it was long lasting while we were here.
Yeah, didn't need to prep, but oh boy, mm-hmm. was I not prepared for
yeah.
how spicy it was. But yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, they donated over $1.2 million, as a matter wow. of fact, to Feeding America. So that's pretty cool. I guess they still got more available. So if you're into spice and spicy things, you
or
can
you
go.
Just want to, like, you know, give. Right. You can just buy the box for decoration.
But why do you can punish yourself
no.
and make yourself feel good at the same time. So it's a net zero, and it's just, you know, life continues on. But good things still happen to other people that you'll probably never meet, but you know, you'll still be donating to a good cause either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just saying.
I'd say send it to us, but I'm good.
You're good with the spicy things for yeah. right now?
Well, I bought those little spicy chips. They're like curled. They're what are they called? Taquitos or no Takis? Did you hear those?
No.
Oh, they sell them. They're called Takis. They're in a purple bag, and they look like a Dorito, but they're rolled, like, real thin, and they're crunchy, and they're spicy.
Okay.
I didn't think they were that spicy. It's like a TikTok sandwich challenge kind of thing. People get a bell pepper, they put cream cheese in it, and then they stick Takis in it.
Okay.
And that's, like, apparently a really good meal, because the cream cheese, like, makes the Taki not super spicy, but if you eat them on their own, they get a little burn to them, too.
I'll have to try that.
Nope.
Because I do like
throwing that out there.
I do like spicy things. I tried a bag of those ghost pepper chips by Pocky, the same
Maybe
ones who did the one chip.
Yeah.
And those were hot, too. Not like unbearable.
Right.
But it was
were
like,
they at least tasty?
Yes. That was the thing. Yeah. Unlike the one chip, which tasted like crap, they actually taste good. You know, you can taste like there's like lemon zest on them and like there's other flavor to it. And at the same time, you're eating them and you're like, "Hoo boy," you know, like you got to fan yourself a little bit, you know, because it, but yeah, those are good. I don't know. I feel like I don't want this to become like the hot pepper or heat challenge podcast,
yeah,
but
it's like all we do.
I mean, it seems like lately it is, but I'm just saying, you know, if you've got at the very least recommendations for things
of
to
other
try
punishments.
That, yeah. Well, for me personally.
Or if you want to send us some donuts that we could do a sweet challenge by eating donuts.
Listen, if you get your vaccine, you can get a free donut.
I know, but I only eat half the donut anyway. The top half.
Of course. You didn't see that coming?
No, I think we already talked about that.
We did.
Maybe I did. You know, it's one of those things probably like, it's like a bad memory from your childhood. You just repress that.
You were like, that can't be real.
You bury it deep. You bury it down because you just don't want to confront it. But now you're bringing it back. You're making me have to deal with this.
Or if it's like a cakey donut, I only eat the outside. Where it's like crunchier. Like a chocolate glazed donut.
This is honestly worse.
What do you do with donut holes?
Oh, I don't really eat donut holes.
You know what? This is worse than getting my tooth drilled earlier this week. Because that was something that I wanted to bring up, too. Mm. Like, that was my big discovery over the past week or two. I don't know that
Saw
I mentioned
that,
it last
which
week.
Which kind of goes along with what we're going to be talking about later, showing your age.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. Like, I thought, so to put perspective on this, I'm 32 years old. Mm-hmm. I went to the dentist 2 weeks ago, roughly. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast at all, but like I went and he tells me, yeah, you got a cavity. You got to come back on this day to get it filled. And I'm like, what? I'm 32 years old. I have never had a cavity in my life. Now, I thought like most people get cavities when they're kids.
Oh, no.
I apparently not. But I mean, the thing is, because like my wife's head is filled with fillings. Like, she's got fillings in all her back teeth.
I really thought that was going somewhere else.
I see where her head's at tonight. Ah! Pow! The fireworks are going off.
Anyways, so it's filled.
So she's got she had a bunch of cavities.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, and I never got one. Now, like, both my parents have, like, pretty much all their back teeth have fillings in them. My grandparents, but that was like before they started adding fluoride to the water.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's like, I think cavities have gone down like on the whole, but for me, it's like really disappointing. So I thought I was going the distance. You know what I mean? Other than this discolored tooth up front, which you've probably noticed, that's because I like to tell, you know, all sorts of fanciful stories about why I have a dead tooth in the front of my mouth. Really, it's just because I had to get a root canal done. It's because when I was younger, I thought I'm going to do a front flip one day, and I did it, and I fell out of it and smashed my tooth off the ground.
Oh, my God.
So I almost knocked it clear out of my head. Luckily, my dentist was able to do a root canal and save it, but it got a little discolored.
Yeah, you know? Mine went the opposite. We actually have matching teeth.
Do we?
We do.
Oh, you have the opposite? Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Mine's the opposite.
Oh.
But mine was because I flipped over handlebars on a bike and ate a boulder.
What the heck, people?
Oh, so similar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we both went forward in a flipping motion,
yeah,
and, you know, our mouths met ground.
Mm. I flipped over the handlebars on a scooter once, but I didn't hurt my teeth. I just brush burned my entire face. Is that worse or better?
That
she came up from the ground looking like Doomsday,
yeah,
from DC Comics, like just bones
staring
at her.
Yeah, I've had it on my elbows, yeah, and stuff, but no, like I had what, 28 stitches under my lip. Like I did some fantastic damage to my face.
Somehow, maybe it's a testament to how big my freaking teeth are. I literally, when I did that, I just hit my tooth. That
you're
was
lucky.
It. Nothing else. My tooth took the full brunt of that fall.
Nope.
Wow. Impressive.
I was not that
well
lucky.
Done.
Yeah,
yeah.
My tooth broke my fall in more ways than one. But at any rate, yeah. So first cavity or whatever. Mm. And I was like, it's weird because I don't have any pain. And he's telling me the other day as he's drilling into my tooth, he's like, well, you don't want pain. Like, pain isn't good. Once you get to the pain stage, it's
worse.
Gone too far.
Yeah.
So like he said, even like I was like, so what am I doing wrong? Like, what can I do different? He's like, well, it wasn't anything that you did wrong. It's just there's a deep groove in your tooth,
mm-hmm,
and it just so happened to start getting rot in the center. Mm-hmm. He's like, so you drilled it out. He filled it. It took like 15 minutes. Like, I don't know if that's different, if like technology has advanced to the point where like it's real easy to get a filling done, but it seemed like really simple.
More like you caught it early enough that
probably
you didn't have to do like a major root canal or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So
did
well,
you need even Novocaine?
He put Novocaine in, so like, yeah, half my face was numb. I was walking around like, man, this is the perfect time for somebody to punch me. I'm just going to no-sell it like Superman. Like, don't feel anything.
Should have done the show that day.
Yeah. And then like, you know, obviously the next day when the Novocaine wears off, I'm like, my jaw's broken. But no, yeah, he put the Novocaine in, so like, I got a needle in my gum.
Mm-hmm.
But then he drilled, you know, but like I said, it was lickety split in and out and done. And I was like, all right, well, that wasn't so bad. But yeah, now I'm like, man, I really am getting old, aren't I? Because if that's the thing that starts happening, like you just start getting, my teeth are going to start falling out of my head now. That's not good. That's not encouraging. That ain't gangsta. I'm getting cavities in my 30s.
I don't know. I don't have any cavities still. I'm older than you. My dentist told me that if I've gone this far, I'm probably going to be good to go.
See, that was what I'm saying. I thought I was going the distance. It was going to be, other than my knocked out tooth, it was going to be perfect teeth for
but
the rest of my life. Nope.
The thing is, though, your teeth do still age along with you. So I'm assuming, you know, the cavity, if I get them, they're not going to be from like the fact that I let sugar like lay on my teeth. Like, for example, for you, it's not like sugar. You just like let it sit there.
Yeah.
It's more like your teeth are just also aging, and it's just like part of the process, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's just as busted as my back.
Yeah.
My teeth.
So it's a bummer, but at least you caught it early.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It just, it sucks, man. What a bummer. Like I said, it's like, yeah, it's just a constant, just another reminder, the old age.
You almost
in.
Could have still told people you didn't have one, but now everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things.
It's bothering him.
Well, also, it's like show code, too. You know what I mean? Something happens to you, and you talk about it on the podcast.
Wait, what? That's the code?
What are you looking at?
We do not talk about everything on this podcast.
We talk about a lot of things.
I'm like, wait, am I supposed to know this?
We talk about a lot of things.
This is
You're right.
Yeah, most major personal things, like, we don't withhold. You know what I mean? Stupid feuds with, like West Side Story feuds with other skate parks locally.
This,
you know, we don't really talk about stuff like that necessarily, but
picturing them like,
yeah,
no,
doing the snap, yeah. Indoor versus outdoor. Where you at? What side are you on, baby? So yeah, that's my update.
Well,
I got rot mouth.
What a way to end it.
Yeah, right? Just, there's your cherry on top. It's perfect. So today on the podcast, though, we've got, there was a boat that was stuck. It was a meme. You probably heard about it. We've got an update on the whole situation, which is good, positive, but we'll also revisit that, too. We teased this last week, a humorous obituary, which we tend to really enjoy. And I actually had an idea with regard to this, too. So,
that can't be good.
Nope.
It's going to be great. So we got that. We've got, have you already hit your peak age? In my case, that's the definite yes. Yeah, probably a long time ago, too. Four signs it's time to take a break from social media.
Mm-hmm.
Could potentially be good advice, especially in today's day and age.
Yep.
And if we got time to get to it, a man is extremely upset that his fiance has refused to let him have the wedding of his dreams. I feel for this guy. This is the modern age, okay? Men, weddings are just
which
about
is okay.
Too. Yeah.
It depends on what he has planned.
I hope this is the modern age and he just wants a super traditional wedding.
All
it would
I can,
seem
all
very
I can
like
feel
not.
Feel is cowboy.
Woody,
you're going cowboy, all right.
Ew.
She's going like he's going to ride a steer down the aisle?
Possibly.
I thought you're saying like super traditional, yeah. Like what? Like how traditional?
Like a giant church and big dresses and
okay.
Like the fanciest, most
silverware.
Traditional. Yeah.
When she said traditional, I thought she meant like he would trade her father a goat for hand or something like that.
I wasn't going that
no,
far
not
back.
Renaissance. Yeah.
That's like pre-Renaissance.
Sorry.
That's like Iron Age stuff there. But we got all that and more on this episode of A Freak Accident.
A freak accident. It's like a dumpster fire scented air freshener. There's absolutely no point. Bodie McBoatface.
I forgot about that.
That's why you don't let the internet vote for the names of things. Bodie McBoatface will go down in history forever, but this news story, unfortunately, does not involve Bodie McBoatface.
Nope.
It involves.
That's that Novocaine still there.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll blame it on that.
Yeah,
still got it left over in my head and in my mouth, and my mouth isn't working right because of that.
Yeah, sure.
So a boat was stuck in the Suez Canal, which is apparently a very important shipping lane in Egypt or near Egypt.
Sure.
It's somewhere in, it connects two giant seas, and there's a lot of ports on both sides. There's a lot of trade and things that move through there, and a lot of vital items, I suppose. Well, the good news is it is finally out. They got it unclogged from the canal and got it moving along.
Yay.
After many, many days. So the name of the boat was the Evergreen. Because like you've probably seen the meme where like people were like
right.
Photoshopping the boat like everywhere, you know, in places like to have it stuck.
My favorite one is the meme of if you know this picture and it's like a carnival, like if you were at a local amusement park, and it's like you'll understand how this can happen.
Oh, the Knoebels.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, those boats where you would always go down and like hit the sides on the boat ride and then you'd get like jammed sideways.
Somebody always ends up sideways or turned around, you know, and that was this was just like that. Yeah. People don't know Knoebels is like an amusement resort near where we live, which is apparently nationally popular. Knoebels
well, like
is?
A free
I think they're the only admission, right?
One. Yeah, it's free admission.
Yeah. You can just walk right in.
You can
right
still
in.
Buy mm-hmm. tickets for.
Yeah, you have to buy tickets to actually ride a ride, but you can literally just go to the park and hang out and not have to pay anything. So anyway, salvage teams on Monday, local time anyway, freed the colossal container ship stuck for nearly a week in the Suez Canal. They're actually referring to it as a crisis because really it was. I read somewhere that it was blocking something like $10 billion worth of trade per day.
And wasn't a lot of it toilet paper? I think I'm serious. I think they were saying they were going to have another toilet paper shortage because
Because of this
boat? Yeah, because of this boat.
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily this boat or if it was one of the boats that was like waiting to get through the canal and couldn't, because it was literally like it was diagonal, blocking the entire thing, and its front and back side were stuck against the eastern and western walls of the canal. Yeah, I mean, well, that's, $10 billion worth of cargo a day were prevented from moving through the canal, including cars, oil, livestock, laptops, sneakers, electronics, and toilet paper.
Whoa!
There you go.
She was waiting for
it. I'm like, come on, toilet paper, be on that list.
Apparently, it also held up a few shipments of sex toys, too, which a lot of people were apparently very upset by.
Oh, that seems right.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's amazing how one thing like that can upset so many things. Mm-hmm. And it's like at this point, like we're a year out from the start of COVID when everybody lost their mind stealing all the toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Let's not go back there if we can help it.
I don't know if you watched the History Channel when you were younger, but when they used to discuss the Panama Canal all the time mm-hmm. and when they were building that, like that was part of their discussion was like if anything were to ever happen, this could back up everything.
Yeah, we'd be screwed.
So that just explained what would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it was like a trade disaster, mm-hmm. a shipping disaster.
They should have just jettisoned all the cargo and
lighter. To find out like why this ship that was wide or long enough that if it twisted could get stuck was allowed to go through there.
Well, a lot of people are pointing fingers at the captain saying, how in the world did you allow this to happen? Like, what kind of boat captain are you?
Well, I thought it was the tugboats that had to be on either side.
They used a bunch of tugboats to help free it, I guess.
But I thought they were supposed to have one on either side going all the way down to
I mean, I don't know if like something of that size though, like if it loses control, if a tugboat's gonna stop it all. So like a tugboat, it's kind of like the same general idea as like the guy who pulls like a tractor trailer with his teeth.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a little, you undo, you know, you pull the brakes off, you put it in neutral, and enough, you know, you get enough energy moving in one direction, and eventually it starts to roll, you know, if you just have applied pressure over time. Kind of the same deal. It's not that the miniature tugboat is actually as powerful as a giant multi-million-pound ship. It's just that if you're in the water, you essentially have, like, you know, it's easier to get something moving if you have just a little bit of forward momentum going. But, yeah, they used a flotilla. A flotilla? Am I saying that right?
I have no idea.
Of tugboats, helped by the tides, wrenched the bow of the skyscraper-sized... They're calling it the Ever Given.
Oh.
But it says Evergreen on the side of it, so I don't know. Somebody...
Maybe they don't know.
The guy who got tasked to do the paint job just, you know, read the order wrong.
Good proofreading.
Yeah. apparently, it was stuck on the sandy bank of the canal. It had been lodged there since March 23rd. And that was the thing. Like, they had, like, people in there trying to dig it out. They had, like, excavators in there trying to dig up the canal.
I liked the memes about the one little excavator trying to dig out that. I forget what it said, but it was hysterical because it's just, like, this puny little excavator against this massive ship. And you're like, yeah, what's that going to do?
The Babylon Bee had, like, a similar thing where it was, like, Joe Biden fell over again and he was blocking the halls of Congress. So, like, none of the Congress people could get where they needed to go. This says at least 113 of over 420 vessels that had waited for the Ever Given to be freed are expected to cross the canal by Tuesday morning. So that would have passed already. Mm-hmm. Analysts expect it could take at least another 10 days to clear the backlog on either end.
Wow, 'cause
you've got to figure there's probably just giant lines of boats waiting to get through here that just had to, like, sit
hang
and
out
wait. Yep, hang out for like a whole
I know they were
days.
Saying some of them were planning on backing out and taking a different route to get to the same destination, which is obviously going to take longer, but it may not, because if they were stuck for 7 days,
right?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, how long would it take a motorized ship to go around?
They use
the
gas,
southern border,
right?
Yeah,
so
the
I mean,
southern border
sure
of Africa
fuel.
I would assume, like, this probably gets you, I would imagine, if I'm thinking about this right, it gets you from the Indian Ocean to the Mediterranean, maybe?
I'm not sure where it was.
I'm not sure exactly where it lands or what it connects. But it says you're buffeted by a sandstorm. The Ever Given had crashed into a bank of the single lane stretch of the canal about 6 kilometers north of the southern entrance near the city of Suez. Created a massive traffic jam, held up 9 billion. This is saying 9 billion a day. Mm-hmm. I read the other article. It said 10 billion a day in global trade, strained supply chains already burdened by the ongoing coronavirus epidemic. Which, like, at this point,
yeah, really,
like, how are there still supply chain issues with COVID? I don't understand.
Reserves got used up and we still have to keep making things.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's why the cost of lumber and metal have quadrupled.
Well, yeah.
That's,
yeah, like a bottle of Lysol aerosol is still like $12.
Right. Yeah, there's a piece of plywood, you know, nailed to the former door of my garage out there. Cost me $20 for that freaking thing.
Only 20?
Yeah, it would have been like $8 before this freaking thing probably would have been over. It was a thin piece of plywood.
Oh, like the Luan.
So yeah, it was a sandstorm and not the captain's fault, but...
I feel like we should be playing Darude Sandstorm right now.
Maybe this will make them change their policies about how long the ship could be versus how wide the canal is. Because obviously this ship was too long to sideways go down this canal, right?
Yeah, like they are not going to dig out the canal for that.
Well, I'm saying maybe next time the ship can't be that long. Like, it's just going to have
to
be shorter ships.
They're cargo ships. They are
massive. I just
don't
get it. Yeah. It could happen again.
Well, that's the thing. Well, now, like, the big question is, they're asking, who's going to pay for all of this?
Sure.
Because they're saying, like, cargo...
The insurance company.
New York Times is saying, cargo companies, insurers, government authorities, and a phalanx of lawyers, all with different agendas and potential assessments, will need to determine not only the total damage, total cumulative damage, but also what went wrong. I'll tell you what went wrong. The captain was probably drunk at the wheel.
Oh, my gosh.
Darude Sandstorm was black. I'm convinced that it wasn't an actual sandstorm. He was dancing to Sandstorm rather than paying attention to what he was doing. He crashed the boat to the side. That's what happened.
And they asked him, he's like, Sandstorm. That's all he said.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Sandstorm. Yeah. Little did anybody know.
Sandstorm. I don't know.
It was the techno classic Sandstorm by Darude.
I can just picture the captain, like, at the wheel. Maybe like a monocle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
He's from the 20s. The 1920s? Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, we're in the 20s
now. Yeah, I forgot.
That's
my age once again.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Oh, my God. It's crazy to imagine how much is actually going this is going to end up costing at the end of the day. You know, they're saying lost toll revenue. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all, you know, everything. It's a financial mess. Affecting a multinational web of businesses led by the Japanese owner of the ship, its Taiwanese operator, and the German management agent that all hired the crew.
What an odd mix.
Trade. You know, that's how trade works. You know, everything's being sent everywhere the time. You know, it's like, what were you going to see?
I just had eyeballs.
Yeah, you know, there's gears turning behind those eyeballs, though. I can see them.
Yeah, but I had half a slushie already, so I'm going to let it go.
At least.
And Dayquil.
It was going to be a joke about the Germans and the trains running on time, wasn't it?
Oh, no.
Anyway, so we've got... I'm just glad that it's unclogged. You know, I saw a meme today. It was... the Grim Reaper coming to take the boat away. And he's like, it's time to go. The boat's like, was I a good meme? And the Grim Reaper was like, yes, now come on, let's go. And the boat's like, I can't, I'm stuck. So I'm like, all right.
I like it.
Right. Anyway, all I'm just going to say is at the end of all of this, get me my toilet paper.
That's all we care about.
I'm not going without toilet paper again. I will kill a man. I'm not going to hesitate. Up next, a wife's humorous obituary for her late husband has gone viral. You'll understand why when we read it.
You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away, and when to run. On second thought, forget all that. Just grab the table and take what's yours. This is a freak accident.
Uh-oh.
It's the coffin dance.
Yeah.
Because this dude's dead. But I feel like with this obituary, if they could have hired those, like, coffin dancers from Ghana, I think is where they're from, they would have for this dude's funeral. If anything, this man deserves this kind of send-off.
All right.
I want those guys to dance at my funeral.
Oh, boy. I'm on drugs now and alcohol. It's not a good mix. It's just not.
Yeah, normally people do like one or the other. No. You're doing both, though. You're an incredible example to today's youth.
Showing you what could happen with the use of legal medicine? I don't know. What am I saying?
Hey, listen, booze was medicine.
What's happening?
I'm not sure. You're on a freak accident. For now, anyway. When the trip kicks in, who knows where she's going?
Yeah, we don't know where she's
like
going.
Like Mars.
So this was published online. It went viral. Goodnewsnetwork.org picked it up. This was the obituary for a man written by his wife. He died young, which is always sad whenever you see somebody pass away so early on. Maybe this brought a little bit of levity and humor to the situation, though. The obituary itself for Eric A. Souser. And the obituary reads as follows. We love a good, funny obituary here on the show. So Eric A. Souser, a.k.a. Super Dad, a.k.a. Easy. Just a rockin' dude from Omaha, Nebraska, passed away peacefully in his sleep on Friday, February 26, 2021, at the age of 43, with his wife by his side. His departure was just in time for him to make his spiritual appearance at every Red Sox spring game.
Right into it.
Eric is survived by his wife, Crystal, and three children, Amelia, Violet, and Benjamin, all of whom will likely sleep in the same bed for many years to come. Oh. Sorry, Eric. He is also survived by his loving and caring parents, Ronnie and Paula Souser, and his sister and aunt extraordinaire, Jessica Souser. In addition to his immediate family, Eric leaves behind an incredible extended family and many, many friends. He is preceded in death by billions, including his dog, Harvey, who most of us love to hate. We are confident they are joyfully reconnecting right now. If you knew Eric, you knew you were loved, and there is a good chance he told you that, probably sober, but maybe not. So you and he had something in common.
Yeah, I like him already.
During his time here, he found a way into everyone's heart. Eric loved, in this order, his smoking hot wife. His brilliant kids and family, his many friends, the Boston Red Sox, the Kansas City Chiefs, before being a Chiefs fan was cool, the Huskers, Liverpool football,
ooh,
QT iced tea, Adidas sneakers, fishing, backpacking, hiking, hunting, and any old Chevy he saw on the road. Eric hated sad stories, beats, romantic comedies, a snowpack driveway, and turning off the garage light. That's it. Eric was content with most everything else. We are not positive, but we think the cause of death was either leukemia or, more likely, being dead sexy.
Aw, yeah, that's awesome.
Eric, we've always loved you and miss you already.
Aw, that's sweet.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like I said, at least they can inject some humor. You know, I she sounds like she probably had a good time writing that.
Sure.
A little bit of levity is good.
Yeah, it was a little emotional, too, but... Yeah. Like, you know, you felt like you kind of knew them a little
bit. Yeah.
I like it.
It's looking good. At this dude's picture, though, he kind of was dead sexy. Oh. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. He's a rugged-looking mountain man kind of guy.
Oh, boy.
It's Crisco's background to his laptop now.
Uh-oh.
No, no, that's still Henry Cavill.
Oh, okay.
Leave that alone.
All right. Sorry.
But, you know, that's great. And, I mean, I could see why it went viral. I mean, you know, in the world today, people need a little bit of... it's nice to have, like, a light pierce the darkness in that way. But there was a thing that we did on the podcast.
We're not doing it again.
No. We are not.
Nope.
But Kara is.
What?
Kara has to do it because she's never done it.
Wait.
So years ago, okay, early on in the podcast, and we will, maybe we'll replay the clips of ours next week, okay, but we did one of these stories and we decided, oh, hey, let's write our own obituaries in a humorous style.
Okay.
Right? So that's what we did. I wrote one for myself. Mickey wrote one for herself. Lazy E wrote one for himself. And now it's your turn, Kara. You have to write an obituary for yourself.
I'll do it right now, do I?
No. I want to give you the week to think about it. You don't have to do it right now.
I almost died on the spot. You could have put that in my obituary.
Then we could have written whatever we wanted.
Almost happened.
Kara was a drunk and a druggie. Okay. When she wasn't high on cocaine, she was low on whiskey.
What? Vodka.
Those are like not the things, but okay.
But this is what's going to happen, though. So we're going to give you the next week to write your thing.
Oh,
write your obituary. Be as humorous as you'd like. and then you'll get to read it and present it to the class next week on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's so nerve-wracking.
You can finally have yours, you know, and it'll go along in the halls of history alongside the framed pieces of mine, hers, and Lazy E's.
All right. No, I'll do it. That's good. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
If it's really good,
yeah,
we'll make sure that it actually becomes your obituary when you die of this cold that you're suffering.
No. Oh my gosh. Any day now, I think.
At this point, I feel like it's just inevitable. It's a matter. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when.
Does anyone know what it was? Probably that cold she had since 2021. Yeah. You know, 3 years later.
You hear those sneezes? Those sneezes are mean.
They are.
Every sneeze took a little piece of her life force with it. So yeah, that's your homework assignment, though, to do that. You got to write a humorous obituary for yourself.
Funny.
Lazy E is probably listening to this right now going, and he's like rubbing his hands together greedily in excitement. So yeah, we got that to look forward to. There's your first tease for next week's episode.
Thanks.
Up next, have you already hit your peak age? Got a bad feeling the answer's yes, isn't it?
You could pay attention to the ramblings of a star-craving mad person. Or you can listen to us. It's basically the same thing, just less bone-crushing depressing. We are a freak accident. I needed to try. Needed to
fall. I needed to love. I'm finding a way. I need never get old.
There it is.
Yeah. I wish I didn't have to get old. It gets worse all the time. I have to do yoga just to be able to stand up straight anymore. So anyway, this was a study in my least favorite website after the last time I had so much trouble with the title of it. Study Finds.
Mm.
Yeah, so study finds what people think their peak age was.
Okay,
so we'll see if we agree with this. So first things first, Kara, what do you think either was your peak age or do you feel like you haven't quite hit it yet?
Oh, no, I hit it. I'm on the downslide.
She knows the date and the time, hour, minute, and second mark.
How many days?
Yeah.
I appreciated around age 28.
Okay, why 28? What was it about
that? I just
that?
Felt like I was really healthy, and I was happy with work and my relationships, and I was just, like, in a really good mood, and I don't know, just things seemed to go well. I just felt good all around.
What and age she made it past the Forever 27.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, what is that, Forever 27? Is that something?
All the musicians that died at 27.
Oh, right.
It was, like, celebratory.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. You didn't die.
No, it's all good. So now it's like,
I better celebrate by freebasing meth.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are off. No, not you guys.
It's just him.
Not you guys. I changed it. It's just you.
I've been called worse. That's fine. So it was.
I'm going to go like 28.
28?
Yeah.
Okay.
29.
All
right. Like right in that area there. Yeah. 28.
Mickey, what about you?
Well, seeing as I'm going to live for way too long, I'm probably definitely not there yet.
Yeah, because your family is ancient, aren't they? They're like eldritch horrors. They all live to be over 110 or something.
And like 105.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's old.
It is.
I plan to
I'm not looking
100.
Forward to it.
Yeah. No, it'll be good. Because you're like healthy.
Yeah, and so are they. So, yeah it's fine.
They're going to still be alive when you're 100.
She's going to be totally spry. She's not going to be living in any home or anything like
None
that.
None of them are.
You're going to be totally independent. It's just going to be her and her misery left alone and her awful cynicism just continuing to poison the world for more than a century.
Although I'm good at chuckling at myself, so I'll keep myself entertained.
Yeah, that's good.
I feel confident about you.
So you don't know that you've hit your peak age yet.
I don't
you
think
assume
I have.
That it's coming. I probably peaked. I'm not gonna, I probably definitely did. I mean, I still have like aspirations for like what I want to do with my life and things that I want to accomplish. But I don't know. I just feel like in terms of like just raw vigor, vitality, health, you know, general fitness, ability to hold
mouth rot.
Mouth rot.
Right. So I'm thinking I'm thinking pre-mouth rot here when I'm go- when I'm so much. I'm taking my mouth rot into consideration. My mouth rot, my increasingly bad back, you know, my ever aching knees, my inability to bounce back from a night of hard partying.
Yeah, that's hard.
You know, it's like, so I'm probably going to go with like 26 myself, because that was like, that was the age where, now granted, I wasn't like back to the gym yet or like getting into shape again.
Right.
But I was in like good enough shape that like I wasn't
surviving.
Yeah, I was surviving. You know, I was still like a bit, I wasn't at my heaviest yet. You know what I mean? So I was still thinner. You know, I still had a lot of energy. I could stay up late. I could wake up early and not be thrown off. You know, I could do whatever I wanted. Bounce back still real quick. Didn't have any major health problems or physical limitations or anything like that. And it's like now I like, you know, I have to watch what I eat or I get gas. You know, and it's like that wasn't a concern of 26-year-old Crisco.
And late 20s, you're an adult, but you still sort of feel like you're younger than an adult.
Right.
So your like maturity level sort of there.
You've got
well, that's why, because you're living at 105.
Yeah.
You've got a couple years of like solid drinking under your belt.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like legal drinking. You know what I mean? You do that. You've probably done a little bit of traveling, I would assume. You know what I mean? It's like you're kind of experienced. And it's like, you know, that was kind of like, I feel like I started to really become who I am now in like my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. You know, like I started reading new things and learning new things and adopting new philosophies and things like that. Learned a lot about, you know, things that I had taken for granted.
Learned a lot about things.
I learned a lot about myself. No, I mean like, you know, things that you assume.
Yeah.
You learn the truth about certain things.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, you know, you might change your perspective on some stuff.
And I think you start standing up for yourself around that age.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
You don't let people walk all over you because you're not a kid, but you're not like old and you feel like, you know, people are like, oh, okay. You know,
you're out of college. Yeah, like
you feel confident.
You're like
about
officially
yourself.
Kind of an adult at that point. You know, once you hit your later 20s. You know, which is why I think like 26 was probably the sweet spot for me. Obviously, I'm well past that. I'm 6 years beyond it. So, and
that's so far well
now
past it.
I'm just on a roller coaster into a grave.
Oh my gosh.
I told Mickey's comment about my tooth on my Facebook the other day. It's because you're getting old. Yeah. Like, yeah, I know. That's what I said.
And the worst, or I guess the best part of this is he is the youngest on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of
why it's fun. Yeah.
So hearing me whine about getting old probably just makes you feel all the more terrible, doesn't it?
No, I'm fine.
No, because her age now is our 28 and 26.
Probably.
In Mickey years, she's like 13.
Yeah.
So
certainly act like it.
Mickey years.
So here was what the folks in this study, in study finds discovered.
Finds.
Yeah, so the new survey asked people of all ages what age they were when they peaked or when they think they'll peak. Uh-huh. And I guess like the question is like, what does it mean to peak? Like, do you mean like? And that's the thing. I'm going off of like how well I felt. Mm. You know what I mean? How my physical condition, my mental state. You know, this was pre, like, you know, battling severe depression, too, you know, that began to set in more heavily in my later years. But the new survey asked people of all ages when they peaked, when they think they will peak. The average answer is 37, which is actually about 10 years beyond, Kara, what you and I had.
Yeah, picked. For real.
Yeah.
What?
37. That gives me hope. I got a couple more years yet to squeeze in before I peak.
I already peaked. I'm done.
So do they explain?
I'm done one way or the other.
Do they explain what they think peaking is?
No, this doesn't say. Let me open up. There's another link here. Maybe this goes into more detail. Hey, think about this, though. Maybe, though, Kara, maybe you'll get stuck in forever 37, and then you can just, like, peak forever.
I'm
like, peak
39.
Perpetual. Yeah, but I mean mentally, though.
Oh,
you know
okay.
what I mean? Like,
I was gonna say, hang on one second.
Yeah, maybe you're just perpetually peaking, though. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you peaked at 37, and it's just like, you know, it's not like
downhill.
It's not a summit of a mountain.
Right.
It's like the top of a mesa that goes on for infinity.
I live on a mesa.
Think of it that way.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm trying to give you inspiration here.
It's fine. It's
overall, this is interesting. 2/3 of respondents believe they still had their best years ahead of them.
That's good.
That is good, because if you look forward to something, because they even say, like, even little things, if you look forward to a vacation, sure, that's more exciting than the vacation itself. So right, everything you're looking forward to gives you life to move forward.
It
so
motivates,
I guess maybe that, yeah.
Maybe it motivates you to keep going, you know?
And not jump off a bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
have a slushy every Wednesday. Wait, what?
this says the study finds a direct relationship between feeling good and reaching a person's peak potential. So it probably it was a combination of, like, how good you felt physically, mentally, and also, like, how much you were doing, like, at that stage in your life.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, too.
That's probably also why my mentality thinks that we're not even close to it yet, because my philosophy is we're always learning.
Well, sure, so, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's like more of like an abstract sense. Yeah, like, you know, when you stop learning, you stop growing. If you stop growing, you're just decaying and dying.
Sure.
You know? So, like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a good outlook to have, I think, and inspirational. And
because I feel like I get dumber every year. That
I
know.
Feel that, too, actually.
Well, that's because you actively remove yourself from things that might instruct you.
No, I do the opposite. I'm doing something right now that is instructing me more on life, and it is miserable.
The podcast?
No.
I was like, how dare you? This podcast doesn't teach anyone anything.
I know.
This podcast saved me. What are you talking about?
She would be doing She would be doing way heavier drugs if it weren't for this podcast. Right now, she's just hopped up on aspirin and... What?
Omeprazole and DayQuil.
Yeah.
Get it right, man.
Acetaminophen, whatever. You know, whatever it is that she's on.
I also think I took levothyroxine for my thyroid this morning. All right, everyone.
Yeah. So she's high on that. She could be high on angel dust. We pulled Kara back from the brig.
My old lady drugs that I'm talking about. My D3. And my fish oil.
Yeah. Throw a B12 shot in there.
That's
right,
everybody.
Yeah. B12 shot. You gotta get the
best
belt
years are yet to come over here.
Tap that vein, get that B12 shot right in that bloodstream.
Best year. What's happening with wedding?
It's that perpetual mesa. You're on the top.
I'm on the top. The sunlight is hitting me directly on my face.
Let us know what you think, though. If you feel like you peaked, or if you think your best years are still coming, freaksatafreakaccident.com would gladly revisit this, and especially with Lazy Eback, too, if he has an input on this.
Yeah.
I'd want to hear what he has to say as well. Up next is advice we can all take. 4 signs it may be time to take a break from social media.
Be a part of the show. Go to afreakaccident.com and click on connect. That's afreakaccident.com. Click on connect.
Check my social media.
Yeah. that was good.
It's great, yeah. Right? Yeah, I love it. So the Mickey's reaction is great too, because she like went back in the chair and then like just like slow blink as it said it. Because
I
happening.
Didn't know where it was going, and then when I heard it, I was like, "Oh,
that's the signs of a great thing."
I'm like Lion King, huh?
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, that's it's a parody song by why is my phone? Come on. I can't see. Oh, there it was. Dustin Akui. I butchered that. Whatever.
Yep. Good thing you read it.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah, you can look up social media song and find it. It's fine. But this segment was published in USA Today. It is 4 signs it may be time to take a break from social media. Which, like...
Uh-oh. Number one, if you have a social media account, close it.
Wow.
Yeah. Literally, that's kind of where I'm getting to these days. It's like... You know, if do you have it? Good. It's time to take a break.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally the thing, because, and especially, you know, we've talked about this, I feel like, ad nauseum, but, like, over the last year, especially early on in that quarantine where you had nothing the F to do, like, you're just sitting around on social media, like, just constantly injecting it into your brain. Everything's going in there. All the stupid opinions from every stupid person you've ever known that you didn't realize was stupid, but now you know because you were exposed to it for so long.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's like And it's funny that I was even talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about
he doesn't even remember.
No. Information overload.
Sure.
You know, and how that affects your mind and warps your perspective, and like really can lead to like constant anxiety. You know, and like existential dread because mm-hmm. like, you know, you're constantly oversaturating yourself with, you know, and his point was like, think about like back in the day, you would like interact with people. It's like you might see like how many, you know, assuming not just like, you know, the people that you see when you leave your house or if you work at a business, but like how many people would you actually have conversations with on a daily basis?
Way too many.
But I mean, back in the day, I mean.
Yeah, right? Way too many.
So, but to Mickey's estimation, way too many is like two.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
exactly.
This is what I mean. So like, you would have like your coworkers, you know what I mean? Who like you might have like one or two that you talk to a lot. You might briefly interact with others. Uh-huh. You would have like your spouse, maybe a friend or two that you would go out and get drinks with and stuff like that. And it's like, but like it wasn't that many people uh-huh. per day. Like now you are exposing yourself to like hundreds, if not thousands, of people and their internal machinations every single day, and uh-huh. it could start to mess sure. with you. You know what I mean? Like you hear one, you know, you interact with five or six people a day, even more than that, 20 people a day. You might hear one or two opinions. You think, wow, that's really stupid. But like now, you're getting everybody's dumb opinion. Uh-huh. So like it really does weigh on you after a while. And this was kind of instigated by Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, yeah, she closed
her. She quit Twitter, mm-hmm. canceled it completely outright earlier this week after revealing it was taking a toll on her mental health. Springboarding off of that, there is a professional wrestler named Jon Moxley. He was Dean Ambrose in WWE.
Okay.
He, like, he does not use social media.
Good
for him.
Which is,
like, it's interesting in that world.
Sure.
Because those people make that's their whole platform. Uh-huh. You know, they make their identities on their social media, interacting with their fans. You know, they cut promos on each other. They set up storylines on Twitter, for crying out loud. And he's just never used it. Like though he started his Twitter, and I think like for 5 years, the only tweet was the first one he sent out where he was like, "They told me I had to get this, so enjoy." Yeah. And he never tweeted again from it. Like even now, like he rarely ever says anything. Right. And somebody asked him recently, like, "Why not?" And his answer was, "When's the last time you talked to somebody who was like, I just spent the whole morning on Twitter and I feel great?"
Yeah. He's right.
It doesn't happen. Absolutely. He's like, so why do we keep doing it?
Yeah.
He does make a point. So here's four signs, according to this article published in USA Today, that might indicate that you need a break from social media. Number one, you compulsively check your phone.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So like, well, yeah, if that's your primary thing is to constantly check social media, for a break.
That
for sure.
was me at a couple points over the past year. Doom scrolling is what they call it. It's when like you just keep scrolling, looking for more, and it's just like in most cases, it's like when something bad is happening, and you're just like, okay, I got to keep like finding out more. You know, I got to keep reading more about this. I got to keep seeing what people are saying about it.
I don't know. I always find like if I find something on Facebook when I'm on there, I typically go into like Google Chrome and like I'll look up the actual story, I'll read the story, and maybe I'll go down that rabbit hole, but I'm never on Facebook for more than like 5 or 10 minutes.
You're not exposing yourself to the opinions.
But it's not even the opinions, just like you said, dumb stuff, just kind of like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it says we're way too attached to our phones to begin with, but if you're checking your notifications, messages, and likes every few minutes in a way that affects your job or family time, that is a big problem.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people have it set up, too, where they get the notifications like a sound when somebody comments on something on Facebook or on Instagram. Like, I don't
that
have
would
that.
Drive me crazy.
Yeah, that would I would go nuts. It's if I have time to look at it, I do, but
right.
This is interesting. Number two, you wake up or fall asleep feeling off. If you're waking up worried about something you said or saw on social media the night before, it might be time to set some boundaries with your accounts.
Sure.
Yeah. I can tell you, I've been there. I've gotten myself embroiled in a number of debates and conversations. What is that supposed to mean?
I feel like you might even set yourself up in a debate with yourself.
I do all the time. And let me tell you, I hate myself. So those conversations get heated.
And you're worried about it when you go to sleep. I get it.
Over the years, I've gotten embroiled in quite a few conversations, though. And like, I just from personal experience, like I will think about it. Like, even when I'm not commenting on it, like, I wonder what they're going to say next. Mm-hmm. I bet they're going to say this, in which case then I'm going to say this, mm-hmm. you know, and I know yep. exactly how I'll respond if they go around with this line of thinking. I'll come at it with this. It's like, mm-hmm. but then, yeah, it's kind of the thing. Like, I have, like, literally, this hasn't happened recently, but in years past, I would have been up mm-hmm. till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, arguing with people online like some kind of idiot. And then like going to bed thinking, ugh, and just you're just thinking about it. And you're like, man, if I have to start this again tomorrow, like if I got to pick up from where I left off, and it's like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time that I ever had to deal with that was when we were first forming the business and there was another business that was attacking right. us. That infuriated me. And I was like,
well, that's also happening right now, though.
Not even in the same way. It's not even close. But this was like, you know, and it wasn't a negative thing on my end. Mm. I was always just like, okay, like, how do we spin this to a positive?
Right.
But it drove me nuts. And then I finally got to the punching point of like, okay, we've made our point. All is good. And it went away. So that was like a week's worth of, but I was like, how do people get stuck on here? Mm. Like, just constantly rambling back and forth an opinion and it. Like,
yeah, and that's what you have to remember, too. It comes to the point where you're talking to a brick wall.
Absolutely.
Because the person that you're arguing with online has their opinion already.
Yeah.
And they're arguing with you back and forth because they think their opinion is correct. And no matter what you say, you're not
going
to change their mind.
I was like, more so recently, like, I gave up trying to, like, convince people to change their minds because I realized, like, you're never going to do that.
No.
All I'm doing now is if I have the opportunity, I'm trying to get people to think.
Mm-hmm.
Or look at something maybe like, oh, hey, you said this, but you had said this before. So how do you feel about the fact that you're contradicting yourself?
Not even worth the time. It's not even worth the
time. It is tough. I know.
Yeah.
It sucks, yo. It real sucks. Number three, your real life interactions are suffering. If you've been interacting with your friends and family less while getting wrapped up in Facebook arguments or scrolling on Instagram, it might be time to reassess your priorities.
Uh-oh. What's that say about me?
What do you mean, Mickey?
Would
you
like to elaborate? In real life, Mickey.
Yeah, yeah. Mickey doesn't talk to anybody in real life. Yeah, so it's like,
that was social media.
Or social media.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like the other thing with that too, though, is kind of like, I don't know, like, I feel like, personally, this is one of the bigger problems facing the world right now, and the reason people are, like, so at each other's throats, and there's such an us versus them kind of thing, is it's because, for whatever reason, people are really tough online.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, nobody...
Well, 'cause it's a mask.
Nobody would say, even the people who don't have the benefit of anonymity, like, you know, I've seen people with... Here's their full name,
sure.
profile picture of family with, you know, husband and or wife and children and, you know.
But it's still a mask, even if all of their information is
there.
Sure,
but this is my point. Like, and just saying, like, audacious stuff. It's like, dude, like, this is, like, you're not hiding that this is who you or whatever, you know.
Right.
But it's kind of like, you know, because everybody's got giant cojones behind a keyboard. And it's like, and we've been spending so much time interacting that way, like I said, in a way, in saying things that you would never say to somebody in person, and in years past have not, all of a sudden now it's okay because you're online. But I feel like that has the potential to warp the way you act in, like, real life, too. Like, and you start, like, looking at people and thinking of them the way that you think of them online. And that's what's, like, poisoning everybody's ability
to... But that is the same person.
Right, but
you can't pretend that you're only one person one way and a different person on the internet.
Well, right, and that's what
that's
I mean.
Not okay.
And that's part of the issue. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
People do that. And have you seen people where you see them in person and they go, did you see my post that I wrote online? Did you hear my thing that I wrote to this one? Hey, did you see this one? I shared this. And you want to go, no, I did not. And I'm not following everything you're writing because
I don't care.
I don't care what you're writing.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and then you have that kind of, you know, so they are that person. They might want you to see that, but maybe you don't agree. So you're like purposefully not looking at what they're writing.
Kara's like, no, But did you see the new picture of Timmy that I posted?
And that is how I live my life kind of on important. Social media.
He got a very fancy haircut, he and did. He looks adorable.
Actually, he was super cute.
Number four. Number four is you've started viewing yourself negatively. Social media can be dangerous because people only share things that they want you to see. It's like viewing a highlight reel of their life.
Sure.
The sentence, I saw a little graphic of this. People are not all that they post to be.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's totally true because who, I mean, you do have those some people that share every negative aspect of everything too. And you want to be like,
God, please get help.
You know, like that's a little too far sometimes.
I had a kid reach out to me last night who I went to high school with, I think. I can't even remember. Like they popped up in my friend request like a couple years ago, and he posted something really negative. And I said to him, like, why are you always complaining on here? And he messaged me and he's like, well, he's like, I'm not always complaining. I'm like, dude. I'm like, every post that I'm like, and I'm not online that often. So when you come up in my feed and every time I see you, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, this kid is just like miserable.
Right.
Once I started talking to him, he's like, no, he's like, I just don't post everything online, which is true.
Yeah. I honestly think like, you know, we knew somebody like that, you know, who was just always, everything was negative. Everything was negative. Everything was negative. Everybody's against me. This, that, you know, and it's like, and I think it was like, maybe not necessarily a cry for help, but it was kind of sort of like, the only way he knew how to get attention was through being negative. And it was like, you know, pay attention to me because this sucks or that sucks. You know, like he didn't know.
Right.
Like, he wanted people to like hear him and see him and want to interact with him. But the only way he knew how to get that kind of anything like support or eyes on him was by being negative. And it's like, and honestly, I think it started to do what we're talking about here, like affect his outlook in real life, where like, you know, he started mistrusting, you know, people around him and like just assuming everybody's out to get me. And, you know, this is all just, you know, it just cascades.
And in the same respect where you have someone that's like, oh, my hubs is the best because he gave me this diamond bracelet for this da-da-da, like as if that's life every single day. You also have these people that'll write something like, you know, you never know. You don't have friends. Thank God you only have people you meet because your family goes against you. And like, so either way, you have the super positive people that want you to be like, your life is the best. That's amazing. And then you have the negative people that are looking for you to be like,
sympathetic.
Why is everything? Oh my God, we love you. You're the best. You know, your family's wrong.
You're so strong. Yeah. You struggle so much and blah, 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 blah. It's like everybody struggles. And everybody has bright spots, too.
Absolutely.
You know, it happens. But, like, that's, yes, you're right. Social media either distills it into extreme versions of one or the other.
Right.
I think that definitely happens a lot more on Instagram than anywhere. Because, like, you're trying to share, you know, look how much I do. Look how much I eat. Look how much I travel. Look at how much I exercise. Check out these awesome new pants that I just bought. New shoes, new hat, new car, whatever. It's like, it's always, wow, yeah, this person's out there living their best life, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, or on the other side of it, it's like you described, you know, it's like, you know, oh, another day where I've had to struggle with my haters, you know, and all this sort of stuff. It's like, man, like, shut up.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's fair to say that almost everyone needs a break from social media.
Yeah.
I don't even think you need those four signs. I think it's just like, let's all unplug for a few minutes.
Well, see, everybody a couple like months ago were talking about like, you know, after they banned the president, the former president now, after they banned Trump from social media and everything else, everybody's like, well, I'm going to go to another social media platform. It's like, hey, how about you just quit it altogether?
Absolutely.
Just stop. Like, that would probably serve you better. And in the long run, like, if everybody decided to do that, we probably would be better off.
Sure.
Because social media began with, like, a good idea.
Right.
I think its premise is fine, but what it's transformed into is not doing anybody any good. Really, I get more convinced by that all the time, which is why, like I said, like now I'm not trying to get people to change their minds, believe in something. I'm not debating people about like your idea is wrong, my idea is right, and here's why. I'm trying to get people, hey, take a look at yourself and see if this is who you really want to be, because I don't think the answer is yes.
Except they're always wrong if they don't follow the podcast.
I was going to say,
on that note, follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are everywhere. Not Snapchat, not TikTok.
Deleted all those.
So, like, you can unfollow everybody else except us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
We do good things.
If you have some compulsive need to be insulted, Mickey will happily fill that void in your life.
Ooh.
So that's fine. And on that, yeah, we'll actually, we'll wrap up this episode of the show, too, with just plugging the show and everything else. So I'll just give you the whole rundown. Head to the website at freakaccident.com. The podcast section is super great. Because no matter where you're listening to this show, you probably don't get too far before you run out of episodes. There, you've got 260-plus episodes, every one we've ever done, right at your fingertips to download. Plus, there's links there in the podcast section to take you to places where you can subscribe and regularly download the show. Because that's most important, is like subscriptions and good reviews. Mm-hmm. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, wherever you get them from, subscribe to our show and leave us a good review, and that will help us continue to grow and expand in popularity and influence, and then we can do more cool stuff, and who wouldn't want that? Back at afreakaccident.com. Click connect, and you can find the links to all of those social media places that we've just said you should quit.
Oops.
Anyway, just click the icon to find us at those separate places. You can visit our shop, which is super important. Mm-hmm. Our t-shirt is there. It's only $19.99 plus shipping. It's a pretty cool design, I think. Comes in multiple colors.
If they really want to quit social media, they can send us an email.
That's true. Yeah, freaks at afreakaccident.com. And also, you can request free stickers back in that shop, too. Mm-hmm. Just fill out your mailing information, and we'll send them to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, freaks at afreakaccident.com. That is obviously the email. If you'd like to reach out to us about anything at all, we would love to hear from you. And that's pretty much the whole rundown. Although, we will tell you to also share us with...
Your friends, your real friends.
Yeah, your real friends, yeah.
Not your social media friends.
Those people are liars.
But also your social media friends, actually. But also them also. Yeah, them.
I certainly wouldn't complain if you shared us with your social media friends. But those people are also evil and they're lying to you, so don't listen to them.
But also share us with them.
But yeah, share us with them. Yeah. The more the merrier. Ah,
hey!
Want those numbers to go up. I need those numbers up. These numbers we've been doing are rookie numbers. We need higher numbers. So next week on the show, we got Kara's obituary.
Oh, all right. I forgot already about that.
Yeah. Lazy E will be back, I assume. And we will also have the dramatic return of Yes or BS. We're back with the Monty Python edition.
Ooh.
In celebration of, I think there was some kind of anniversary for
man.
That recently.
Them being
so
old.
Bad at that.
Oh, my hips. Oh, my yeah, and yeah, we'll see if I have any more cavities next week, dude. Check back in. Check back in and find out. Thank you so much for listening this week, though. We'll catch you again soon for A Freak Accident. I'm Crisco.
I'm Kara.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you.
You might think you have it all figured out.
Until a freak accident happens.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
Son of a bitch!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production. All rights reserved. Intro music is licensed under Creative Commons BYNC ND 3.0. Thunder Rock, performed by Magic Studio. Thanks for listening.